This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
How close did you and Mariah and your family actually come to thinking we might leave here?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like it was like we were like really close. I think that when, you know, when it comes to a situation like that, like you have to really, really consider it. And me and Mariah, we had some really tough conversations, like with my agent, because like at the end of the day, right, we're trying to figure out like what's going to be best for our family.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, that was the voice of Bucks wide receiver and still Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin. He had been the apple of the eye of reportedly the Patriots, a lot of Patriots fans. Could have been a nice fit for Drake May in the offense. The guy Tom Brady once said had the best hands.
Did you, A, see, or do you even believe the stories, fellas, that you've heard about this, that A, the Patriots may have offered up to $30 million per season, and B, that they were so intent on getting him for his on-field ability, Andy's, and also for the big thing that we've been talking so much about, Ted, the leadership, the locker room, the intangibles. They said, damn the torpedoes, we don't care about the medicals. Do you believe that?
Probably. I mean, I think when
that's risky with a guy like his ankle literally went 90 degrees the other direction.
Yeah, but it's modern medicine. Dak Prescott did that. A lot of guys have these horrific injuries that they end up coming back from.
So he took $20 million a year, right? You're saying the Patriots offered him $10 million more.
I've almost $10 million, yeah.
I've heard 24, 30 would be, that's a lot. But, I mean, for him to turn down potentially 30 with 3 years mm-hmm. at $10 million more, that's $30 million total. For him to turn that down, that would be a little bit surprising to me. However, like I said to you guys yesterday during the TED Talk, the older you get, he's been around. I mean, what is he going into his 10th year, I think? He's up there.
Yeah, I think this is year nine.
Your priorities change. It's not always
right.
about the money.
I agreed with
That's
you 100%.
Though.
Ted, when you were saying that about the whole, like, you know, you're here, unless there's a challenge that you're out for, he's won a Super Bowl. He's made a lot of money.
His
he's
family,
raising
his
a family. Yeah.
Very like, different priorities.
Right. And also,
for certain guys.
Not for nothing, but, you know, like, Tampa's, it's warm most of the year. It's fun.
Yeah.
He's got a good
Yeah, it's not.
He feels like he has a chance to win,
skin,
too.
My skin still feels like sandpaper from February. I mean, meanwhile, he's like riding a boat with Brady in a tequila flotilla.
You were telling me yesterday how like my energy and mood changed because it got to like 55 degrees.
Yeah.
Here. He lives that world all the time. And also, he's making good money. It's not like he took pittance. And he's on a team that he has Mike Evans, he has Baker Mayfield.
He just went to the playoffs.
That's what I mean. Like
they got Shime's guy, Bucky Irving, who's really good.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Ted, because my Wi-Fi is
mine too, brother.
He's another third
contract.
Don't
worry, I'm here, guys.
He's made good money in his career.
Oh, yeah, he's made
He had his second contract.
Sure, oh, gotcha.
This is the third contract.
Correct, correct.
So,
damn, you got to be good to get offered that much money in a third contract in the NFL.
What do we,
wow.
The third, if you get the third, then you're set for life. Most times you're set for life with your second, but third for sure. What do you guys think about the Patriots offering him that much money? Do we give the Patriots credit for pursuing that? There's, you know, people, I mean, hearing that they pursued the left tackle.
Ronnie Stanley.
Yes.
Not Ronnie Stanley, but Dan Moore.
Dan Moore had a big offer on the table.
Yep.
Do
we believe that? And if we do believe that, do we give him credit for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I know there's that balance between Stiz's argument that they're the interest kings and there's a little Red Sox there. Oh, they were interested in this guy. They were interested in this guy. So it's bad that you didn't land them. You don't control it, right? You can put out an offer, you can pursue a guy, and that guy can choose for whatever reason, any of the reasons you sort of enumerated yesterday, go the other way. But I give them credit. They were willing to pay more money to get Chris Godwin, even to the point where maybe too much money for a guy coming off an injury. Or Dan Moore? Who's Dan Moore? Like, Ronnie Stanley's one thing. I think we all think he's a high-level left tackle.
Dan Moore's considered the second best.
You know who he is, Danny? Andy, he's a $20.5 millionaires per season.
Correct.
The next 4 years, which is
he's a more than serviceable left tackle.
Better than what they had.
Serviceable left tackle for $20 million, as far as Chris Godwin goes, to me, between the two, would I take – that's my ice bath, guys. I got to go in a minute. That's my daily cold plunge.
Supposed to be good for you.
They're great. You should always do it. Between Chris Godwin at $28 million – or Cooper Kupp at 18 or 20 million, I would take Cooper Kupp in a heartbeat.
Are we really spending money? I don't know.
We are spending money. They have a boatload of money. They still have a boatload left. I think they have 93 million left under the cap as things dwindle down because, we forgot to celebrate. It's 408. It's officially
happy
NFL free agency.
Happy 2025 league year, everybody.
Now all those veteran minimums that are left can sign with teams.
All right. I am refreshing the tweet machine right now, and
Cooper Kupp is a Patriot?
Not yet. Damn it.
So you'd rather have Cooper Kupp than Chris Godwin?
Yes, I would.
That's interesting. I don't know. And what were your numbers on that?
Cooper Kupp, I would go, I think 2 for 40 is an absolute deal sealer, but I think 2 for 35
I'd rather have Godwin.
What does Cooper bring to the table that you like so much?
Absolutely everything. He still has great top end speed. Yes, he's dinged up a lot. I know Godwin has also been injury prone. The more smaller nagging ones with Kupp, I get it, but incredible hands. I know Brady praised Godwin too. The size, he's a big guy. And it's that leadership intangible, that whole entire idea that he's going to go and turn everybody in there. If Pop Douglas wants to film a TikTok or something, it's like, no, you know what the film we should be watching is? Us against Houston last week, because we have to figure out how to learn from that game and prepare for the game coming up against the Broncos and the Colts. Like, he's a film junkie. The word on him is that he studies all the time. And he's relentless. And that's exactly what these guys – there's plenty of talent in that locker room, Ted. Yes, everyone considers it the worst. But it was not coached right. It hasn't been unearthed. There's some talent. I mean, they played college ball, Andy.
Plenty felt strong in that sentence. There's some talent in that locker room.
All right. Should I say an adequate amount or an abundance?
There's not an abundance.
Okay, we'll go with adequate amount. There's a decent amount of talent. There's some talent in that locker room. Okay. Who's going to teach them how to get the most out of themselves? Josh, Drake, themselves? Someone going to come in and deliver some emotional speech that's going to inspire these guys, Ted?
It's best done by a player at that position. So, I'm a fan of Cooper Kupp, and I'm a fan of this team getting older guys that are on their third contracts. Ideally, you get like a Milton Williams type player who's going into his fifth year. Like, you're literally their second contract, so they're the youngest, and you can really kind of take advantage of their athleticism when they're younger. But this team needs leaders, and give me guys just even for the short term. Give me guys. I don't care if you bring a guy, Cooper Kupp, in for a 2-year deal, an older, aging veteran for a 2-year deal on the offensive line. That's a bridge to the next guys that you bring in, and I'm okay with that. This team isn't going to win a championship in the next 2 years, in my opinion. So build a team that way. Just bring in adults, bring in pros that can teach the younger guys, and then in those 2 years that they're here, you replenish the stock with drafting guys and making trades in the next 2 years.
All right, Andy, let's play pick one. Cooper Kupp or Kyle Juszczyk?
Cooper Kupp. I mean, I love fullbacks and all, but no. They need a wide receiver. Yes.
See?
Absolutely. I was going to say, do you believe Cam Robinson, the left tackle, fulfills your criteria? Because we haven't talked a lot
gave
about
up 11
him.
11 pressures in the Super Bowl. Like, it's kind of a bad last game to kind of think of, you know? I'm everybody just rips the guy. They say that he's coming off of injuries. He hasn't really gotten back to even close to where he was. Look, and yeah, at this point, I'd be okay with it. I would do a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable giving him money more than one, but just a one-year Band-Aid, I would be comfortable with that. My guess is he'll look for a multi-year deal. I don't know if he'll get it, but for this team, yeah, I would if at worst, I'd give him a two-year deal just so you can kind of bridge again to the next left tackle that you get. So, yeah, I would be open to it, but not for big money and not for very long.
And the longer it goes, the less the money is there, right? I mean, he starts to look at it like, oh, there's not a lot of interest in me. All the money's gone in the market. Mm-hmm. There's only so many teams still interested. Because I still think you need to sign another tackle and then draft a tackle. And then that combo of unsigned guy, Morgan Moses, and whoever the rookie is. He might be a second-round pick, a third-round pick. Whoever it is, take him, and then those guys, you got 3 for 2 at least. You hopefully have numbers there. Because, Ted, you didn't necessarily sway me on Will Campbell. But I read a story.
I'm not trying to. I'm just giving you my opinion, brother.
But you had all the numbers for tackle. Did you know he's in the lowest, like, 23 percentile for guards in terms of arm length, hand size, and wingspan? He has one of the shortest wingspans. He's like me out there. He is like T-Rex, alligator arms, whatever you want to call it. I'm getting a little more alarmed by how uniquely undersized he is. I love that he's great, that he played great at LSU in the SEC, but to be that much of an outlier and just assume he's going to roll right along, I'm getting less like
welcome to
draft
our
him
side through of the street.
But we need a tackle.
But you can get some high-end pass rushing or receiving talent right up the top. Maybe even if you trade back, pick up some more assets, then trade back into the first round or move up in the second round if you see there is the tackle that you want. And then, like you said, grab another one and then grab a safety later on and then grab another grab a running back. If you can find a way to get your tackle of the future, a Travion Henderson like somebody who can be a third down back and possibly compete for first running back priority catches and a receiver in the first three rounds, you are cooking with little camper tanks.
What I worry about a little bit, guys, is that they find themselves in a similar position to they did last year. So they brought in a lot of free agents on defense, mm-hmm. and so it forced them to lean into the offense on draft.
Yep.
So you pick for need. As opposed to best available. And so now that they've loaded up on defense again in free agency this offseason, is that going to make them kind of address all their offensive, try and address their offensive needs in the draft? And then that becomes, well, we got to pick this guy because he's the position we need, even though he's not the best player available. That's the thing I do worry about with what I've seen kind of happen. This free agency is very similar to what happened last year. And that's you saw what happened when they went all offense in the draft last year.
And that's why I wonder, and maybe this is just little gullible Andy being naive and optimistic, with all the guys they've brought in from different places that have been in different places on this newly assembled staff, does somebody know a tackle that's not starting somewhere, that's maybe
he'd
somebody's swing tackle? Can they be working the trade market? Can they find a guy? And I'm not saying we'll react to it like, woohoo, you got a starting left tackle. But there's got to be a guy out there that somewhere is the third tackle on a team where you say, he's better than anything we got.
You would think, with all these coaches from all these different teams that are here. But I feel like they might should have been here already.
Maybe. I'm going to be optimistic, Ted. They're just working out the details. And both teams got through free agency, and then they'll work on the trade.
Maybe. And what sounds crazy, I've been on teams where in training camp, they've brought in guys mm-hmm. in the last minute, and it's actually worked out,
right.
Linemen. So maybe, believe it or not, maybe one team has one too many tackles.
Right.
And so someone gets released. So it might go down to the wire as far as whoever their left tackle is. It might not be decided until, late July, early August, believe it or not.
And I think we are snake bitten because of last year. Because of
the last several years,
all the things. But last year they had nothing, and they sold us narratives and stories about Chukwuma Okorafor. Oh, he can play left tackle. Or we can move, what's his name, Caden Wallace out of Penn State. He was always a right tackle, but we're going to move him to left tackle. We think he's going to be great. Like
yeah, that worked out for half a game.
I think we are snake-bitten by what they did, and we just don't want to believe anything they say or plan.
There are so many things that we have been – like, this is something that we need the – And is part of why the Vrabel administration is so good for the Patriots right now. We're snake bitten by being afraid of SEC tackles with short arms. Insert Isaiah Wynn. Yep. SEC running backs that are overrated. Insert Sony Michel. We're afraid of giant wide receivers that are kind of slow in their 40s. And everyone say they win 50-50 balls 80% of the time. Okay, no thanks. You know, and now also being sold the bill of goods of like, no, this guy's going to be great. Who is that stiff that they signed at tackle 2 years ago to play right tackle from the Bears / Bengals / everybody? Not Jonah Williams, the other guy. He came in, maybe played 3 games, lied to us at his opening presser, oh, I'm here to win a championship. We were like, no, you're here for $5 million.
No, it's the opposite. For years, it was always in Bill We Trust because, oh, Russ Hochstein will come in and play good enough or whoever will come in and play well enough for us to kind of churn right along. Now it's the opposite. They've lost that benefit of the doubt because of what they've done to us in recent years. They need to reestablish that credibility, and that's where, theoretically, Mike Vrabel comes in, establishes that credibility. WEEI Afternoons, we are live from Scores Canal Street, just down the street from the TD Garden, where there is a massive basketball game tonight. Celtics, OKC Thunder, everyone thinks it could be a preview of the NBA Finals. And joining us next to talk about it is our friend Megan Ottolini, Celtics insider. She comes on the heels of Justin Turpin. But before Brian Scalabrine, it's a lot of Celtics today here from Scores for WEEI Afternoons.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by VisitFortMyers.com. The Celtics wrap up their 7-game homestand tonight when they host the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tip-off is at 7:30. Three players on the Celtics injury report for tonight. Jason Tatum, Kristaps Porzingis, both listed as questionable, while Jaylen Brown is probable. The Bruins overcame a 2-0 deficit to end the Florida Panthers' 6-game winning streak, winning at TD Garden 3-2 last night. Jeremy Swayman made 26 saves on 28 shots, while David Pastrnak had a goal and an assist. Pastrnak is now tied for 5th in the league in points entering play tonight. Boston visits the Ottawa Senators on Thursday night. The Red Sox, meanwhile, host the Minnesota Twins tonight at JetBlue Park. First pitch is at 6:05. Tanner Houck starts for Boston this evening, and you can catch the game on the FM side, 93.7 WEEI, beginning promptly at 6 p.m. Also, Alex Cora gave his projected top 5 in the batting order for opening day today. Jarren Duran, Rafael Devers, Alex Bregman, Tristan Casas, and Trevor Story round out the top 5. NFL free agency has officially begun. In NFL news, the Broncos are signing 2-time Pro Bowl tight end Evan Engram to a 2-year deal. 2-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Javon Hargrave and the Vikings agreed to terms on a 2-year $30 million contract after his release from the 49ers. The Bills are trading Kyer Elam and a 6th round pick to Dallas in exchange for 5th and 7th round picks. Shortly after also being released by the 49ers, defensive tackle Malik Collins reached an agreement with the Cleveland Browns on a 2-year deal. The Steelers are expected to sign former Jets cornerback Brandon Echols, and Cooper Kupp has officially been released by the Los Angeles Rams. Hey, Red Sox fans, it's time for spring training in Fort Myers. Cheer on your favorite team at JetBlue Park, then explore the area between games. Turning your love for baseball into a relaxing vacation just feels right. Start planning at VisitFortMyers.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Megan Ottolini joins the guys live at the table to talk Celtics here at Scores right after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Everyone's calling this a preview of the finals. If I told you we're going to see one of these teams in the finals, but not both, which one do you trust?
I actually trust OKC, and I've not done Oklahoma in June, so I'm curious to see what that's like. But I think when you look at the path to get there, right, OKC has by far, in a way, been the best team in the West, most consistent, and we are not sure, nobody's sure, of who that second team is going to be in the Western Conference Finals. Cleveland, to me, is a legitimate threat to the Boston Celtics. Now, the Boston may come out of it, but I think that is going to be a heavyweight fight in the East for sure.
That was Monica McNutt, ESPN, talking about Celtics, Cleveland, and the matchups and the potentials of which of these teams tonight we're going to see here at the TD Garden have a better chance to make the NBA Finals. It's WEEI Afternoons live. Thanks to our friends at Jameson down at Scores on Canal Street, just down the street from the Garden.
Yeah, where yeah.
It's going to be Celtics versus Thunder. Preview of the NBA Finals, and helping us preview it right now, wow, joining us is Megan Ottolini, Insider, WEEI.com, and Celtics Insider. Mego, are you excited for tonight?
I'm so excited. Although you already saying that this is going to be the finals? Like you're just penciling that in.
I'm not the only one. A lot of people have been saying that.
It's
people
a
have
high
said.
Likelihood, but we don't know. I thought that OKC would maybe be in the finals last year, and then you get the Mavs. So the West is crazy. The West could totally cannibalize each other.
I actually do believe that, even though they're sort of running away with the West, there are teams in the West, L.A., even Golden State, post-Jimmy mm-hmm. Butler trade, is an interesting team. I don't know if they can make the full run. And then you just look at Jokic and say, he can go to the finals any given year. I watched the other night, mm-hmm. randomly. Suddenly I'm doing a daily radio show. I'm watching NBA TV.
You're watching non-Celtics games?
Very
on
weird.
Sundays at 1?
Very
How about
weird.
That?
Yeah, it's very weird. But you had the back-to-backs, and you have Jamal Murray and Jokic go for 30-30. Like, we get all giddy when it's Brown and Tatum 30-30. There's other teams that can do
How
that.
How about
out there.
When it's Peyton Derrick 40-40?
We also do get very giddy about that. So, but tonight's game, first of all, Terp predicted that maybe we will see Porzingis tonight. Are you as optimistic on that?
I am not.
That took a turn.
I really hope Terp's right, because I would love to see Porzingis, but it would be great to see him, because I do think it is a very possible finals preview. Mm. And so you want to see how he matches up if they roll out their double big lineup that has been giving them a lot of success, the OKC that is. But I think that you're already losing a little bit of what could be, because they don't have Jalen Williams playing.
Yep.
So it's not going to be an exact matchup anyway. And you got to be careful with Porzingis. Who knows what kind of illness he has right now, trying to rehydrate himself and get himself back out there.
What's he going to get injured hydrating?
He's going to eat. You know what? You don't want to send a dehydrated guy out there to pull something.
You can drink too much water. Every once in a while, there's one of those little like scandals at like a fraternity where they made the kid drink 10 gallons of water.
That sounds like a 1980s or 1990s radio prank.
Is this a Tufts thing?
Sadly, someone
does. Is this something we need to explore from the NESCAC?
The gallon of milk challenge. Okay, I hear you about the Thunder last year. However, I do think they're legit. I kind of do think that – well, actually, I'm not entirely sold because I feel like Denver is still going to be heard from.
I think Denver – Lakers mm-hmm. and OKC are all very much in it. And so I'm just very happy, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, that you're in the East and you really just had to think about Cleveland.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, as a follow-up, like, is this a Celtics-Cleveland and the rest of the way?
Yes. East? Yeah. Yes, definitely. I think it's safe to say that because the only other team that I would look a little bit sideways at would be the Knicks, and you have just made them your doormat all season. So.
Mego, this has been a stretch that we've talked about here as sort of the four games, Cleveland, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and now the Thunder as like not season-defining, but kind of will affect how you feel as you roll toward the postseason. How do you feel like they've handled these? Because you had the weird one against Cleveland, which is one of my favorite Celtics games in recent years in terms of entertainment value.
I was going to say, why? What do you mean?
Because it was awesome. It was like watching a Rocky Celtics fight or something. They were slugging it out back and forth, the hot start, the blown lead, the whole thing. But in totality, not knowing what happens tonight, how do you think they've sort of handled this test of their mettle late in the season against foes?
I think tonight is the biggest test in one way. Saturday was a huge test because it was probably the biggest stage of the NBA other than the Golden State Lakers game on Christmas Day. And it's just hard to compete with Christmas Day in the NBA in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Unless and you're the NFL.
I wondered at the beginning of that, I was like, is this moment going to feel kind of big for Jason Tatum where he has not always been at his best through deep runs in the playoffs?
Yep.
And they exploded in the second half and particularly in the third quarter. And so I think tonight will define a lot of how they feel coming out of this run. Like, I don't want to take anything away from the performances that they've put up and how strong they've been through the stretch because it is notable. But a lot of it hinges on tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess metrically, this team's it's by far the best team. Like, from a metric standpoint, as far as they're the best defense, and then you see what they're doing on offense, they force more turnovers. They don't turn the ball over. They're the lead league in fewest turnovers. There's just so many impressive things about this team. So this game tells you more about where the Celtics are than that Lakers game.
Absolutely. I think with it's an interesting matchup because OKC has – they have the best – defended field goal percentage in the entire league, which just means that they're the best on shooters. And you are a team that sometimes lives and dies by the three-point line. Mm-hmm. So that matchup is just super intriguing. You're right, Ted, like the active hands that OKC has, they have the most steals in the league. And they have SGA. And I think all of us on the East Coast during the regular season, we're just not watching a ton of SGA. Everybody hears about how great he is. Everybody hears about like how much stronger of a case he has for MVP than Tatum. But I think it's like a chance for people to get a look at, okay, mm-hmm. how much for real this guy is.
Well, part of it is his game is so exciting because he can turn the corner. He gets to the rim more effectively and more efficiently than anybody in the league. He's got the pull up and pop. His mid-range game is excellent. 90% free throw shooter. And he's a good three-point shooter. So there really isn't a weakness in his game.
And he doesn't stop. That's the most annoying
thing. His energy
thing. That's the most annoying thing that I
correct.
Think Celtics
relentless.
Fans will – yeah, exactly.
Kind of,
relentless.
Kind of reminds me of like a – like there similarities to Ja Morant, but a better shooter, and also obviously a little more disciplined person.
Maybe a better social media.
Maybe
person.
A better social media, but better person overall.
Maybe basketball
as well.
Shooter.
Yeah, he's also dangerous, just not in the off the court man.
So Mego, oh go ahead.
No, I was just gonna add. What do you think about? You mentioned Jason Tatum and JB in that Lakers game, kind of you know. When the light were brightest, they don't always kind of come
they
through.
They were awesome in that game.
How do you think they're playing this year? Just how about not even this year? Just in the last month, did the two of them together? How would you say they're playing together?
Fitzy, are you craving this pretzel? What's going
yes,
on?
Yes, it is so okay. cruel. By the way, there's
it's
this.
Like,
we're talking
like
to you.
In butter.
First of all, you're the queen of snacks at the station. We all know that, and I'm the biggest carbohydrate addict on planet Earth. And while you, me, Ted, and Andy are talking Celtics, Ken comes over and just ever so casually drops – two of the largest Bavarian pretzels with cheese sauce, this whole thing of like flatbreads and hummus in front of me. And by the way, I'm starving.
But
no big deal.
To Ted, to answer your question, Tatum should finish top three for MVP. That's the kind of season that he's having. He's probably having his best and most consistent season that we've seen overall. Jaylen Brown went through some rough patches at the end of December and through January, and some of that had to deal with him, you know, being out of the lineup around New Year's with an injury and coming back. But
and the rotation was a little wonky at the start.
Yeah, they were trying out some stuff with, okay, like you play the entire first quarter, then you sit here, and he didn't love that. And so they've revamped it. I think they're both in a great spot going into the playoffs. I have no concerns with either one of them.
And he seems to... His shooting has still been a little bit of an issue, 0 for whatever the other night from three-point land, which was actually the issue. Let me go there instead. So you mentioned the big third quarter against the Lakers, positive. Last time they played OKC, the bad third quarter and second half with historically bad numbers, 8 shots made, I think 19%. Was that a one-off? Because they had their whole lineup. They were healthy that night. Was that a one-off? Is that a matchup thing? How do you think that plays into maybe what we see tonight?
This is what scares me, is that this is your last chance to see this team before the playoffs. And if you see them in the playoffs, it's in the finals.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see with these two teams where, again, OKC has Jalen Williams, one of their big players, out. And they just played the Nuggets, which was their big game over the weekend. You just played the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Like, how much are you guys going to... both of you use this game tonight to experiment, and how much are you going to use it as, hey, we really need to like figure out as much as possible about our possible matchups before the play.
And the Nuggets won on Sunday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That was a big win for the Nuggets against the Thunder as well. See, I think it is such a great litmus test. And between the two, which team wants it more or which team needs it more? I think it's the Celtics, just to sort of cap off this run against the good teams and then go. And like then you can set cruise control or whatever the basketball equivalent will be for this final fifth of the season, Ted. Final 16 games, like Terp told us, 3 games against teams with winning records, 13 garbage games as well. Just like now you can comfortably enter into the just don't anybody get hurt, stay healthy for the playoffs phase of the season.
Well, that's I don't know. I feel like a team like OKC, they need to, for a young team, and part of the reason maybe they didn't get to the finals is that they're just too young. They weren't ready. And a lot of times in the NBA, you can have young, talented teams. The Celtics, we could speak on that, is they just need more experience in the playoffs and get that kind of under their belt before they're really ready to take the next step. I feel like OKC is in that same position.
What do you guys think about the bidders that came out?
Oh, that's right. We got some
Celtics ownership.
We have some Celtics news. They go bring into the fore.
Do tell.
Yeah, this is from Sportico. It was breaking just over the last hour. They have the 4 groups engaged in talks to buy the Celtics, according to Sportico. Do you want to hear that?
Absolutely.
Okay,
you want to put a guess out there first?
Fenway Sports Group.
Nope, not one of them.
Ted, anyone?
Bezos.
Nope.
Okay,
all right, that's all the guesses you get. PAGS.
Okay.
We all knew.
Yep.
Friedkin Group, which is AS Roma.
This Friedkin Group.
This Friedkin Group.
What is AS Roma? Roma?
The Italian soccer team.
Oh, okay. So they got money.
AS Roma.
Stan Middleton, Phillies.
Okay.
Not Jeffrey Lurie.
So the wrong
Philly owner. But that shocked me. That came from out of nowhere.
And STG co-founder Bill Chisholm.
Bill, good old Billy Chiz.
Those are 4 groups.
Okay.
STG, the Racer's Edge.
Not as exciting and sexy as some of the ones we've debated over the course of Lurie, Fenway Sports Group, some of Bezos.
Yep.
But I'm sure they have plenty of money and could do great things.
So it's PAGS and, as far as I think all Celtics fans are.
Well, it sounded like with Rob Hale on the morning show yesterday that a lot of these groups are going to be blank and.
Yeah.
$6 billion is a lot of money to come up with.
Well, yeah, now it's even the wealth funds from the Middle East or wealth funds from wherever and all that.
But you can only get a small percentage from those groups.
Small. Oh, wow. Okay.
10% of $6 billion still, you can call it small.
$600 million.
Seems like a lot of money to me.
$600 million is still kind of a lot of money considering the Patriots were purchased for half of that.
Mega, would you like to take a call? We've got some calls lining up.
Am I allowed to say no? Yes, let's take a call.
Well, Rick might be offended.
Okay,
but yes, Rick,
I'm scared.
Rick in Portsmouth says he has specifically a call for Mega. So, Rick, what do you got today?
Hey, thanks a lot, Andy. Mega, it's a pleasure to talk with you on the air.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, so I have a question. I'm wondering what you think the two biggest things will be for OKC to win tonight's game. You know, I'm thinking that they're going to put a lot of defensive pressure on the Celtics. And I also think they're going to take a lot of three-pointers. And with those two things, it's going to be really fun to watch this matchup tonight.
All right, thanks for the call, Rick.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we mentioned before and that Ted brought up, the ability to get the Celtics out of their rhythm and force them into the old turnover Celtics that we all remember from the 2022 finals, that disruption from OKC is a very real thing. The other thing is the switching that they do on the perimeter and what they're able to do to your three-point shooters. If they get the Celtics away from their three-point game, we all have bemoaned at times the 58 three-point shots or whatever, 51 three-point shots.
It's not fun to watch. It's just not fun to watch.
Okay, but that's the way that the Celtics win.
Yeah,
like you can't bully them off the three-point line.
They're going to have to maybe pivot and find another way, because the OKC is the best at pick-and-roll defense. They get up in your shorts. They give you no space at the three-point line. And so what's the counter to that, right? I mean, it's kind of been fun to see some of these games against these lesser teams. You see the Celtics experimenting a little bit. You know, Drew Holiday has a favorable matchup in the post. Dump it down to him, and he takes the guy one on one. Same thing with JB. You maybe find more isolation stuff inside, and so I'm curious how they handle the pressure and the 3-point defense from OKC. What's the counter to that from the Celtics?
Mega, what's your prediction? How do you
what's the column look
out
like tomorrow on .com, Mega?
Well, that's two different things. I mean, is it the column or is it the prediction? If I had to guess what like it all together would be SGA shows his MVP caliber, but the Celtics are the better team overall. That means the Celtics win.
Like a 4-6 point dub?
Yeah, that feels right. What's the line right now? I haven't checked any of the gambling sites. So
I haven't either, but
just ask our addict.
Oh,
no,
yeah?
I'm not the addict.
Do you have a problem over there?
No, I have some props. I thought you were going to ask if you had some props over there. I would have answered yes to that. It's not loaded.
Take
right
Derek
now.
White for everything. That's always my prop.
I say I'm a big believer that the one theme that has developed of late is Tatum and Brown in these big games. I think they've gotten quite comfortable leading, scoring, like the Cavs game, the Lakers game. Like, well, that postseason idea that they still are the pillars. We can talk about depth and roster and bench. It's Tatum and Brown that
It feels like those two guys, the ego's been taken out of their game. I don't see as much of an arrogance in their game.
Money.
But whatever.
That's my theory.
Championship money. They've gotten their money and they've gotten their championship. So there's a calmness to their game. They're not trying to get theirs. And so they become overall better players and less selfish. And I think that it leads to a better overall team performance.
Yeah, I think the other guy who deserves a lot of recognition would be Al Horford. With Porzingis out with his strange viral illness over the last week. Al, like the way that they were targeting him in that Lakers game
was disrespectful.
It was, right. But he stood up to it.
Yeah, completely. And I think, you know, we're all like, oh, Al's 38, and we've been doing that for years, and I get it. But at the same time, to see him be able to still do that and be able to play at that level, go down at the other end and get the ball back and dunk when he said he wasn't going to dunk
anymore. Kick Luka in the face.
He said he's still here.
I'm sorry, it's really fun. I love it.
He's still here. That's right.
He had two flushes at the rim, and both times Lakers called timeouts.
Yeah.
Because they were like, really?
Like, you this know? Guy's, yeah, dunking,
this
on
guy's
us now?
Dunking on us.
This guy's dunking
on us.
Nothing I love. I love a good Al dunk, but I love those Al flat-footed 27-foot threes. Like,
those are great
too.
Do
anything,
man. But
the old man.
Watch Al after he dunks on, and they call a timeout. He's always got a little bit of a cat that ate the canary look.
Oh yeah,
like Like, go ahead.
You
guys didn't think I could do this.
Gave me a taste.
So he's got his compete level for his age. You know, just his whole buy-in. He's always been a believer in this team. You know, goes to OKC, comes back, still a believer, even though he had to go over, take a stop over there in OKC. It feels like he's always bought into this team and what they've been trying to do here. And so I love the guy. And I love those. I feel like if I was an NBA player, it'd be in the style of a
Right.
Al Horford. I could see you shooting like
a little
that.
Stiff, absolutely. But still effective, you know.
Northeast Men's Clinic, baby.
And for his efforts, he got those sweet Tatums. Did you see those? The
no,
blue
what?
And orange Florida Gator colorway.
Oh,
gave,
oh cute.
The rare the Gator.
Those are sweet.
So sweet. School colors. Sweet. The other night, like last week, we were at the game, and somebody had one of the Tatums, like the bright blue ones, and it was flying around the stands. They were like throwing it around like a beach ball. It's like, what the heck?
Wait, a shoe?
Yeah, exactly. Who throws
a shoe? Honestly, who throws a shoe?
Who throws a shoe?
Plus, you need that to get home. Plus, they're expensive, so why would you do that? That's the voice of Megan Ottolini, WEEI.com. She just gave you a tease for later what her column will be, SGA Street. It is a massive game. Celtics and the Thunder tonight. We'll continue to break it down, talk about it, and remember, top of the hour, about 5:10-ish, Brian Scalabrine will join us here at Scores on Canal Street.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
People don't realize how hard it is to play in the city of Boston. It's title time. You gotta have a not give a mentality to persevere through that.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Scores on Canal Street. Thanks to our friends at Jameson. Come on down pregame before Celtics and Thunder. That was Jaylen Brown talking about Boston and winning and titles. And if they're going to go on another run, tonight would be a nice night to assert themselves against the top team in the Western Conference, a potential matchup for the NBA Finals.
But it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a great game.
Oh, I think it's going to be, too.
It's going to be a high compete level. This is going to be a better game than that Lakers game.
I think this is going to bring out the best in the Boston Celtics. I think the try-hard nature that you're talking about and that energy that the Thunder bring, that used to be the Celtics a few years ago. When they hadn't reached title level yet, they were the try-hard team. They still got that in them. They still got that dog in them, and I think they're going to be challenged by the Thunder in that way. I think that could bring out the best in them. We're going to change gears real quick here, though, because Alex Cora did a little talking today at spring training, and he talked about the batting order. Not the full thing, not nine deep.
Mm-hmm.
Pause. We're going to go five deep here for the Celtics, the Red Sox
so
batting
top of
order.
Top of the order. All right, kids, top of the order here.
The one we all like to watch. It's like, oh, what's your top of your order? That's where you judge teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, leadoff, no surprise, Jaren Duran. The
ready
two hole.
Ready for a season and a half, I'm telling you. Top five MVP candidate.
Now you can tell right here it's a projected order because in the two hole, Rafael Devers. Who's that?
Who?
What is this somebody who's going to play in games and be available for the team in games, or is he just going to hit on the backfield somewhere?
Sunday became Tuesday, which was supposed to be Wednesday, and now it's going to be the weekend again.
It's like when my wife asked me to do something. Ah, I'll do it Saturday.
I'll get to it Saturday.
Actually, I'll get to two. Next Saturday. I got the week from
the morning off on Tuesday, honey.
Third spot. Teddy will like this.
Yep.
Third spot.
Bregman.
First inning. Alex Bregman. Every game, baby.
The Saint. He walks on water and delivers in the clutch.
The four spot, your cleanup hitter for the Boston Red Sox, a guy who's going to hit 40 home runs with 120 RBI. That's what the position entails in
Tristan
Boston. Tristan Casas.
Tristan. Wow.
And then your five hitter at shortstop for now. Trevor Story, he's healthy.
What do you have, a sore upper back yesterday?
I know. It was a bad. I don't like that. Even though it's minor, it's a little bit like the Porzingis thing. He's got too much of a history. But that's your top of the order. Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, Story.
I'll put that against anyone else's top five.
It looks pretty good on paper to me.
Really good. It does, even though you're reading it off a phone. Absolutely.
Plus, I'm also reading it when I have doubts about like three of them. But I'm saying if they actually get out there on the field and play games for them.
What do we make, Ted? What did you make of, you know, here we've all been pumping the tires of the Sox, talking about, oh, man, well, Gerrit Cole going down. I don't want to, you know what, wish bad karma on the Sox, but, boy, you hate to see that. They're taking a step back as it is, and now the Sox look even better. Next thing you know, it's like, well, Devers isn't back yet, and Giolito leaves the game after an inning with a hamstring.
Oh,
it feels like a karma.
I mean, you got Cutter Crawford. He's got a sore knee that he's still nursing from last year.
Don't love that.
Willier Abreu. He has yet to see any pitching because he's working his way back from being sick. Okay. Matsuzaka Yoshida has yet to play in the field because he's still recovering from a shoulder surgery. You know, Rafi has yet to play because he's nursing two shoulders. It's unbelievable. What do these guys do in the offseason? Do they do anything in the offseason, or they just show up for spring training and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, let's start playing. So, oh, you know what? I'm still sore from last year. It's amazing to me how many guys are working on injuries from last year.
So you can speak to this probably better than anyone else in the room because you're the professional athlete.
We say that a lot.
Well, we kind of have to.
I mean, true.
Like, it's qualifying. Like, one of us is a doctor. One of us is a college professor.
One of us signed a football during the last break.
One of us used to
actually, all three of us did.
Knock the crap out of people for a living and not care about it. So, you know, when you're coming back from one injury and you rehab so hard, what are the chances that, you know, in the compensation for this injury, then you end up like, oh, my calf was bad over here, but then I got Achilles tendinosis over here, or this foot hurt, now this shoulder hurts, you know what I mean?
I mean, you know, Giolito might be going through some of that, right?
Yep.
I mean, it happens all the time, Fitzy. So, you know, guys, they want to get back so bad. They try, a lot of times, guys try different things. You know, you'll try some kind of extreme training, or you'll go to someone, or you push it too hard. And, you know, I've done that before where I thought, you know, Bills wants to cut me, so I better, you know.
Bill woke up wanting to cut you for about five straight years.
You know what's crazy? He never did. How about that?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
Because he couldn't live without you.
That's kind of what I concluded at the end of the day. But so you try things that maybe, you know, you push it, and all of a sudden you get another injury. Or like you said, you know, a lot of times if you have a bad knee, you compensate. And you have, then all of a sudden the pain goes up into your back. Then all of a sudden you have not only knee problems, but you have back problems.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on.
I remember having an issue with my back when I hurt my foot, but next thing you know, one thing gets out of alignment. Yep. And God, now is the time for the Red Sox to head all of this off at the pass, because soon the eternal slog of 162 begins.
And I got to be honest, I'm always nervous when the Red Sox get off to rough starts in the pre-season. Well, I mean, they got about a 500 record, I think, in the spring ball, maybe two games over. But injuries start to add up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about the 2012 season, you think about the 2018 season, both times they came out of those spring trainings really good. They had really good spring trainings. And so it set the kind of tempo for the rest of the season, right? And so I just worry about, you know, this hasn't been a disastrous spring training.
Crochet looks great.
But the young guys haven't been playing all that great. You got the injuries. Devers has yet to see the field.
How about Bayo? Bayo is probably going to start the season on the IL now as well.
We had six pitchers, I thought, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Nope, now you got four.
Okay, I was going to say three, but yeah.
Great, four. Now we got to trade for one.
So I'm always worried about omens and just bad karma and getting off to – this feels like this team sometimes historically, when it gets off to rough starts with injuries or setbacks early in the season, they're never able to overcome it later in the season.
I'll leave you with this. I was a little surprised because we can be a buzzkill and we can talk about ifs and ifs being 50-50 and all that. But I go to the John Henry-owned Boston Globe this morning, and I read this in a Red Sox column. This sentence surprised me. That the Red Sox will be a more competitive team this season isn't a given. And I was like, wow, that's in the Globe?
Who wrote that? Is Ben Volen writing Red Sox articles now?
It does have a Volen feel to it, but it wasn't, and my Wi-Fi's down, so I can't click on the link that I had to tell you who wrote it.
Alex Speer.
I don't think it was Alex Speer, because there was no numbers in that sentence. There would be stats to back that up.
Oh, come on.
But the Red Sox, yeah, the buzz has taken a little bit of a nosedive here.
It's tapered.
Injuries, Devers, there's questions. We'll get into that later in the week.
Are you talking about the concerns that they have?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Right.
A long list of them.
There's a rotational depth. You know, Brian Bayo, not ready to start the season. Mm-hmm. The closer, Liam Hendricks, he's pitched poorly.
Terrible.
He's been away for the last two years, hasn't been playing. He's 36 years old. Second base, Bregman, he hasn't played at all at second base, 41 innings. At third base, and Christian Campbell and Vaughn Grisham have been competing for the job, but neither of them have been that good.
Nope.
At the plate. So,
and what if Story gets dinged up? Who plays shortstop? Hamilton, Bregman,
Marcelo Meyer.
Oh, this could be his chance to break.
He filled in yesterday.
He might be. Watch. We'll do all this talking of all the other guys, and you know, blowing up their Macy's Thanksgiving parade balloons. But in fact, Meyer and the kids will be the story at the end of the day.
Heading into the final hour here at Scores on Canal Street, WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we will be joined shortly by Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. He's going to hang out with his buddy Ted Johnson, as well as Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI Afternoons. Stick around. That's up next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.